I will call the remote hearing of the Environment and Natural Resources Finance and Policy Committee to order. Today is May 9th, 2022. This meeting is held in accordance with Rule 10.01, which was passed and allows for remote hearings. All remote hearings are recorded and live streamed by House Public Information. The clerk will take attendance by roll.
Chair Hansen is present. Vice Chair Wasilewicz.
Wasilewicz present.
Lead Heintzman.
Heintzman present.
Representative Akam.
Present.
Representative Ackland.
Ackland present.
Representative Backer.
Backer present.
Representative Becker Finn.
Present.
Representative Ackland.
Present.
Representative Fisher.
Fisher present.
Representative Green.
Present.
Representative Igo.
Igo present.
Representative Jordan.
Jordan present.
Representative Keeler.
Keeler present.
Representative Lee.
Lee present.
Representative Lippert.
Lippert present.
Representative Lewick.
Lewick present.
Representative Morrison. Representative Morrison.
Representative Morrison is having difficulty connecting. She just texted me.
Got it. Representative Nelson.
Nelson present.
And Representative Tice. Representative Tice. All right. Thank you.
A quorum is present. The next item on the agenda are the minutes for Thursday, April 7th, 2022. Representative Lippert, would you like to move the minutes?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Representative Lippert moves the minutes for April 7th, 2022. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Ayes have it. The minutes are approved. The first bill on the agenda today is House File 2917. That is mine. So Representative Wasilewicz, would you like to take the gavel?
I will do that. Representative Hansen, would you like to move your bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will move House File 2917 be recommended to be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee.
All right, Representative Hansen, do you want to let us know what this bill is about?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, this is the lottery in lieu of bill. It was included in the omnibus bill. It received a full hearing with testimony on February 17th, 2022. As announced in the notice, the action on this bill be limited to taking the procedural step to send it to Ways and Means. I'll stand for any questions.
Any questions from members? Not seeing any hands popping up here. So Representative Hansen renews his motion that House File 2917 be recommended to be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee. The clerk will take the roll.
Chair Hansen.
Aye.
Hansen votes aye. Vice Chair Wasilewicz.
Wasilewicz, aye.
Wasilewicz votes aye. Lead Heintzman.
Aye.
Heintzman votes aye. Representative Akam.
Aye.
Akam votes aye. Representative Ackland.
Ackland, aye.
Ackland votes aye. Representative Backer. Representative Backer. Representative Becker Finn.
Aye.
Becker Finn votes aye. Representative Ackland.
Aye.
Ackland votes aye. Representative Fisher.
Fisher, aye.
Fisher votes aye. Representative Green?
No.
Green votes no. Representative Igo?
Igo, no.
Igo votes no. Representative Jordan?
Jordan, aye.
Jordan votes aye. Representative Keeler?
Keeler, aye.
Keeler votes aye. Representative Lee?
Lee, aye.
Lee votes aye. Representative Lippert?
Lippert, aye.
Lippert votes aye. Representative Lewick?
Lewick votes no.
Lewick votes no. Representative Morrison is excused. Representative Nelson?
Nelson, no.
Nelson votes no. Representative Tice is excused. And checking
Mr.
one
Chair?
More.
Yes. Mr. Chair, this is Ackland. I'd like to change my vote to no.
Representative Ackland votes no. And checking.
Representative Heintzman changes his vote to no as well.
Representative Heintzman votes no. Checking one more time.
Backer votes no.
Representative Backer votes no. Mr. Chair, there are 10 ayes, 7 nays, and 2 excused.
And with that, the motion prevails and the bill is on its way to Ways and Means, and I will turn the gavel back over to Chair Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just trying to, texting with Representative Morrison, who's having some difficulty getting on. Next up is House File 4649, Representative Hollins. Welcome to the committee. This is the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund Renewal. I will move that House File 4649 be recommended to be re-referred to the Rules and Legislative Administration Committee. Representative Hollins also has an author's amendment. Representative Hollins, would you explain the amendment briefly?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, committee members. I do have an amendment. It's the author's amendment. It gets the bill into the shape that I would like it to be heard in, and I'll certainly talk more about it when we review the entire bill.
I will move the DE4 amendment to get the bill in the form the author would like. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed say nay. The ayes have it. The motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Representative Hollins, to your bill as amended.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair, and thank you, committee members. House File 4649 is a bill to reauthorize the Environment and Natural Trust, Natural Resources Trust Fund, which is set to expire in 2024. The bill also creates a new housing fund to provide housing and address housing affordability. For a little bit of history, in 1988, the legislature passed a constitutional amendment bill to create a state lottery, with some of the proceeds going to fund initiatives for clean water, wildlife conservation, land use, and air quality. Last year, when it was polled, 77% of voters approved of that measure. This bill would reauthorize the measure and would put the ballot question to the voters this year's election in November of 2022. The purpose of the ENR TF is to provide long-term, consistent, and stable source of funding for activities that protect, conserve, preserve, and enhance Minnesota's air, water, land, fish, wildlife, and other natural resources. For the benefit of current citizens and also future generations. Since 1991, it has provided approximately $875 million to 1,800 projects across the state. And funds have gone to all parts of the state, including agriculture, forestry, invasive species, natural area and habitat, restoration of lakes, rivers, and other resources, water resources, et cetera. That is the Environment and Natural Resource Trust Fund portion of it. The other portion of the bill would take the money, so 50% of the fund would go to the ENRTF, and then the other 50% that currently goes to the general fund would be appropriated to the commissioner of the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency. To provide housing, improve housing affordability, increase home ownership, and refurbish or build affordable housing. And also to create sustainable housing and reduce harmful environmental and health impacts related to housing. The bill also would create a housing council to advise the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency on how that money should be spent. The recommendations would have to be approved by a supermajority of that council. And they have a requirement to prioritize deeply affordable housing. So the ballot question would ask Minnesota voters if they wanted to extend from 2025 to 2050 the transfer of 50% of the proceeds from the lottery to the Environment Natural Resources Trust Fund, and then also ask them if they would like to support transferring the other 50% to a new housing fund to provide housing and improve housing affordability. And I believe we have several testifiers lined up to speak on this.
Thank you, Representative Hollins. First up, we have Steve Morris with the Minnesota Environmental Partnership. Welcome to the committee and state your name for the record.
Sorry, it took me just a second there. Good morning, committee members. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee for this opportunity to share comments on House File 4649 today. My name is Steve Morris. I'm the Executive Director of the Minnesota Environmental Partnership. In addition to the more than 70 environmental and conservation organization members of MEP, today I'm also testifying on behalf of a broader coalition that includes numerous other organizations that span the waterfront, from those focused on justice and sustainability to sporting, habitat, and recreational groups. These organizations have worked for more than 2 years to come together, work with their membership, and find common ground on continuing to build this dependable long-term method to protect what Minnesotans love. Please see the handout that is included with materials for today's meetings that identifies many of these groups and overviews our broad support for this legislation. I would like to first begin by thanking Representative Hollins for her great persistence and patience in authoring this important piece of legislation and skillfully navigating the process to get us to this hearing today. As she said, the Minnesota Lottery was established by constitutional amendment in 1988. Since that time, it has been promoted as a way that all Minnesotans can chip in through their lottery tickets to protect our environment, and it is now heavily identified with doing just that in the state. Over its 34 years existence, 40 to 50% of the lottery earnings have been directed to support the environment, as was just pointed out. I'm fortunate to have been the chief Senate author of the current constitutional dedication of the lottery proceeds, which will sunset in 2024. And I'm happy to be here today on behalf of the hundreds of thousands of Minnesotans from the urban to the remote rural areas of our state who are represented by the organizations who have come together to form this lottery coalition. I'm asking you today to enthusiastically support this legislation, to again ask Minnesota voters to renew the constitutional dedication of a portion of the lottery funds for another 25 years. All of these Minnesotans who are in these groups are not able to attend this hearing today, but they have sent us to bring their voices to the conversation and let all of you know how important this proposal is to our shared future. We ask that the share of the lottery proceeds that is dedicated to the environment be restored to its original 50% level, and that those prizes that are won by lottery ticket buyers, but never claimed by the winner, also be directed to the cause that ticket buyers believe they are supporting. We also embrace the constitutional language that clarifies the purposes for which the funds may be used, and encourage language that increases the diversity and number of citizens on the Legislative Citizens Commission on Minnesota Resources. This legislation will have multi-generational significance as it not only allows for continued constitutional dedication of revenue to the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund, but once deposited, these funds will generate dollars for protection, restoration, conservation, and enhancement of the state's air, water, land, fish, wildlife, and other resources in perpetuity. This is a really big deal. Across our broad community, I know of no opposition to this legislation, but I do know of a lot of eager anticipation to see this question brought again before the voters. Please support House File 4649 and advance it to the Rules Committee today. Thank you, and I'm more than happy to respond to any questions.
Members will take questions after the testimonies. Thank you, Senator Morris. Courtney Phillips, Shell Rock River Watershed.
Good morning. Thank you, Chair Hansen and committee members, for the opportunity to speak before you today in support of reauthorization of the funds into the Environment and Natural Resource Trust. Sorry if I'm a little hoarse, I'm getting over a cold, so bear with me. My name is Courtney Phillips, and I'm a program and project manager at the Shell Rock River Watershed District. Our watershed is situated in southern Minnesota, with the city of Elbert Lee being in the heart of our boundary. The Shell Rock has received two appropriations from the LCCMR Council. The first was an innovative pilot project that worked to develop a stormwater water quality credit trading framework that created a how-to manual and associated forms for implementing credit transactions throughout the state of Minnesota. The district prides ourselves in being a small organization that often likes to think of out-of-the-box solutions to resource concerns. Without the Environmental and Natural Resource Trust Fund, innovative projects such as that credit trading project would not have been completed. The second and current appropriation is to put a boots-on-the-ground project that includes a wetland restoration aimed at creating water storage, helping to create groundwater recharge, and to provide pollinator habitat. Having multiple funding priorities and different project scopes being funded through the LCCMR, it truly opens the door to funding a wide array of projects that can fund many different organizations. And for us, we're truly able to utilize those funds to complete projects identified in our 10-year water plan. The district supports continued contributions into the trust as we find it will help keep up with the demand for project implementation. I can assure you the need for projects will always outweigh the funds available to complete them. Also, providing an avenue to research and study innovative solutions is important to tackling Minnesota's resources that could lead to greater impacts down the road. Again, we ask that you support the extension of funds into the trust so organizations like ours have a funding source to make a better impact on Minnesota resources. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, Mike Verhoeven, Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. Welcome to the committee. State your name for record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Mike Verhoeven. I am here to represent today Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, Minnesota. I'm a hunter, a trapper, an angler, and I spend as much free time as I can in the woods of North Home, the agricultural fields around Sanborn, Minnesota, and even the outskirts of the metro, hunting, fishing, and trapping whenever I can. Minnesota's Backcountry Hunters and Anglers chapter strives to ensure hunting and angling remain accessible to every Minnesotan. To do this, we speak up and show up to fight for wild public lands, waters, and the fish and wildlife that live there. First, I'll bore you with a little bit about what our organization stands for. We're here to educate all, from anglers to policymakers, about the importance of every publicly accessible land and water in the state. We work to secure access to these places for every Minnesotan, including those not traditionally included and the generations of proud outdoor recreating Minnesotans yet to come. We work to promote the overall health, conservation, and restoration of these places, and we support the responsible co-use of public lands, ensuring there are miles of beautiful trails where OHVs and snowmobiles can tour the landscapes of Minnesota, while also securing areas where only the horsepower of your hiking or paddling muscles can take you. We push for the management of these resources based on scientific guidance and best practices, whether that's population numbers and harvest rates or understanding how to control aquatic invasive species. And finally, we work to encourage the health and well-being of Minnesotans through the consumption of the wild and wholesome foods harvested from Minnesota's prairies, wetlands, woods, and waters. Now, to argue in support of this bill, like everyone, our organization's dollars and time of our volunteers is limited. So we scour your work, the legislative voices of our members and Minnesota citizens, looking for public policy that can move the ball forward on one of the goals of BHA. It is rare that a piece of public policy can so thoroughly tick through every one of the pieces of our mission, as does HF 4649. I'm here to speak up for our public lands and waters, and to say on behalf of our members, the hunters, anglers, and trappers in Minnesota, that we support asking Minnesotans what they think about pointing our dollars at natural resources. When you ask, you can expect a resounding yes. Finally, I'd like to thank again Chair Hansen for hearing this bill and Representative Hollins, as well as the other authors, for their support. Thank you.
Thank you. Rennie Gauthier, Frogtown Green. Welcome to the committee and state your name for the record.
My name is Rennie Gaither, and I'd like to thank you, Mr. Chair, for the opportunity to testify, all the committee members here, and to Representative Hollins for authoring this bill. I am a volunteer with Frogtown Green, a grassroots volunteer-led environmental initiative in St. Paul's most diverse neighborhood. I'm a former librarian, but I worked as an AmeriCorps Community Forestry Corps volunteer with Frogtown Green. Since 2020, I've volunteered a considerable amount of my time with Frogtown Green, and I appreciate the opportunity to represent the organization. Our mission is simple: to make Frogtown greener, healthier, wealthier, Our organization and the Frogtown neighborhood have benefited from funding from the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund in at least three important ways, all involving expanding green space. In 2011, the trust fund helped us create a 13-acre public park, Frogtown Park and Farm, that increased the neighborhood's green space. An allocation of $1 million from the trust fund in 2011 provided nearly one quarter of the $4.5 million raised to purchase and design the park in our neighborhood. This was very significant because the Frogtown neighborhood lags far behind some wealthier, healthier, and greener neighborhoods in terms of green space. Today, those 13 beautiful acres house a nature sanctuary, a family recreation haven, and an organic farm. Volunteers and residents help keep the park green and beautiful. The second way trust fund dollars help our neighborhood is through increasing tree canopy. Frogtown's tree canopy coverage hovers around 23%, which is the lowest percentage of tree canopy besides downtown. Many neighborhoods have almost twice as many trees as Frogtown does. After noticing our successful campaign for Frogtown Park and Farm, the St. Paul Forestry Department began partnering with us to distribute bare root trees to Frogtown residents. Using a simple technology pioneered at the University of Minnesota, we've been able to plant over 600 shade and fruit trees in parks and public spaces. We now partner with the city, state DNR, and U.S. Forestry Service, and have spread this model of resident-powered tree planting to four other neighborhoods. We hope to plant another 300 trees this year. Since 2006, Frogtown Green volunteers have planted more than 8,000 square feet of native pollinator-friendly plants on the grounds of West Minnehaha Park. Our intent is to create habitat for the rusty-patched bumblebee and other pollinators. The rusty-patched bumblebee, which as you probably know, is Minnesota's state bee and on the list of endangered species. Unlike many pollinating insects, rusty patch prefer urban landscapes, which we have a lot of in Frogtown. We've documented at least four rusty patch bumblebees in our gardens. This year, we were awarded a grant from Lawns to Legumes to increase the total area of our gardens to make them stretch from Dale Street to Snelling Avenue along Pierce-Butler corridor. The Lawns to Legumes program, as you know, is one of the most popular and competitive programs funded by the fund, and we are honored to be selected. I care deeply about the environment and sustainability, particularly for low-income urban neighborhoods. The Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund has benefited the neighborhood where I volunteer in the environment I care deeply for. And I thank you again for the opportunity to testify today. I urge you to support continued financial support for this fund. And I've witnessed how the Frogtown neighborhood has benefited directly and indirectly from these funds. And I hope for the same benefits for all communities in Minnesota. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Gaither. I think we need a tour at some point. Libby Murphy, Minnesota Housing Partnership. Welcome to the committee and state your name for the record.
Thank you. My name is Libby Murphy. I'm the Director of Policy at Minnesota Housing Partnership. Chair Hansen and committee members, Minnesota Housing Partnership is a 30-year nonprofit organization committed to improving the conditions of home and community. We do this by informing public policy through original research like our State of the State of Housing report, by advocating for local, state, and federal policies and resources that expand affordable housing and ensure Minnesotans have access to affordable, safe, and healthy homes, and through direct community development technical assistance, which we provide nationally to rural and tribal communities. Thank you for this opportunity to speak to the bill today. I want to thank the committee and its members for recognizing the intersections of housing, environment, climate, and health. Today in Minnesota, there is a shortage of over 100,000 homes available and affordable to Minnesota's lowest income households. Our current rate of production is only 100 to 150 homes per year for these families. There's also 61,000 households of color that are income qualified for home ownership, but continue to rent due to a lack of entry-level ownership opportunities. We need to seriously invest in housing if we are to make progress and ensure that every Minnesotan has a safe, affordable, and healthy home. So thank you for this dedicated revenue for affordable housing. Historic housing policies have impacted families across generations in many ways. Historical policies of housing segregation, such as redlining and mortgage discrimination, have meant that communities of color and lower income communities often experience housing insecurity, are located in areas with poor health outcomes associated with environmental pollution, and located on land vulnerable to flooding, erosion, and other climate change impacts. New and existing homes need to be able to withstand new climate conditions, including extreme precipitation, flooding, extended heat waves, urban heat island effects, and more. Currently, low-income renters and homeowners spend larger amounts of their income on their home energy bills as a result of older, less efficient homes. 40% of single-family homes and 39% of apartment units were built before 1970 here in the state. Minnesota renters actually have a higher rate of energy cost burden than the national average. The cost of energy and housing are disproportionately a burden on low-income Minnesotans, as these necessities consume a larger portion of their income. Right now, Minnesotans with fewer financial resources or who rent experience more barriers to accessing funding for and investing in upgrades to their homes to maintain their indoor air quality and safely and affordably heat and cool their home. Retrofitting existing building stock, including addressing health hazards such as unhealthy indoor air quality, is a prime opportunity to improve quality of life, reduce pollution, and reduce energy costs. And I believe this bill will help address these issues. I also want to call out and appreciate the bill's attention to displacement. The impacts of our changing climate worsen the affordable housing crisis, putting millions of households at risk of displacement. Making properties more resilient and improving the condition of home will reduce displacement of residents. Right now, Minnesota's naturally occurring affordable housing stock is being lost at a higher rate than we are producing new units for our lowest income households. We cannot afford to lose more of this housing stock. And this bill, I believe, will help us preserve these homes, and it will help people stay in their homes while improving the condition of home. Thank you, and I'm available for any questions.
Thank you. We also have available Becca Nash with the LCCMR for any technical questions. Members, any questions for the testifiers? Representative Becker Finn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just want to thank Representative Hollins. I think, you know, there's when we see a problem, I think in the case of, you know, what we're going to do about housing, you know, we've had some pretty heated discussions in my committee, as well as in Ways and Means and other places. And I think, you know, we all can agree that the current system isn't working. We don't have enough housing for people. And to see that combined with what we already know is a really good program with the projects that are funded through LCCMR, I think is just a really innovative way to approach this. And I just really, I hope that members can support it. I think this will benefit people throughout the state, and just excited to have this in front of us today. I didn't think I would be excited about an environment committee meeting in May, no offense, Mr. Chair, but this is a really good bill and a good effort, and I'm glad it's before us today. So thank you, Representative Hollins, for all your work on this.
Representative Akam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Hollins, for bringing this bill forward. And thank you to the testifiers that testified in support of this today. I think we heard a whole range of reasons why this is an important bill to support. And I've always said, or at least I've said since I've been in the legislature, I'm proud to live in a state where we prioritize our environment and we're willing to invest in it and use environment and natural resource trust funds dollars to do that. I also often talk about climate issues. And so I'm really glad to see it. We know that 40% of greenhouse gas emissions come from buildings. And so I appreciate the emphasis on housing affordable housing, recognizing how important it is all across our state. And so to be able to be looking at how that impacts, how buildings impact climate change and building that into the new language, I think is really important. And to the speaker whose name I think I didn't jot down, but was talking about the housing portion and how energy efficiency costs are so much more burdensome on low-income families. I think that if we can focus on ensuring that our buildings are efficient and can provide a health and safe place for families to live, it will do good things not only for families and their health, but also for our climate and the environment. So I thank you, Representative Hollins, for bringing this forward and the work that's gone into getting it to this place. I certainly hope to encourage everyone, or not I hope to, I do encourage everybody to support the bill. Thank you.
Any response, Representative Hollins?
I thank you for the support. I appreciate it. I do think this is a really critical issue. Not just from a housing perspective, but I know Representative Acomb and I both serve on the Climate and Energy Committee, and we know that the way we are building housing right now and the way we're constructing housing isn't sustainable over the long term, and that if you want to talk about what impacts our environment and our natural resources, the way we do housing impacts our natural resources and our environment. And it is my goal to make sure that we can preserve and protect as much of our green space as possible. And I think that working on sustainability in housing, as well as continuing to fund this Environment and Natural Resource Trust Fund, is incredibly important. They work hand in hand. So thank you. I appreciate it.
Representative Acomb, a follow-up? Or Representative Heinzman.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I actually have a number of questions, and maybe you could help me out, Mr. Chair, but I am wondering, we've heard a number of folks testifying, we've had questions as though this is business as normal, but I'm trying to figure out why we're having a hearing on a bill that was just introduced like a matter of days ago with the Delete Everything Amendment just posted the other day. Does the author expect this idea to move forward this year, or is this just being rolled out to test the waters for next year? Quite honestly, the minority is sitting here wondering what the heck are we even doing here today, Mr. Chair? So maybe this could go to the Housing Committee, since we're just going to be flailing and throwing this around as though this is business as normal.
Representative Hollins.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Lead Heinzman. Happy to respond. So, you know, I think you're correct that this is, I mean, right, it's May 9th. And so it's taken a long while for this to get here. However, you know, the planning and drafting has been happening in the background for quite a while now. And I do believe that we're going to move through, because this is something that's of interest to a number of different people and different organizations, as well as a number of different legislators. So I really do believe that we can come together pretty quickly and get this passed. I have talked to Chair Houseman about having this heard in Housing Committee, and she doesn't believe that it needs to be heard in Housing Committee. So I think from here, we're planning to go straight to rules. And certainly if it comes up, Chair Houseman has been supportive of it as well. So potentially if we needed to, we could be here in Housing Committee as well.
And Representative Heinzman, just, you know, we're here to work every day, you know, and we're in session for two more weeks. So the opportunity is here. We're having this hearing. The other body has had hearings. This is a good opportunity for moving this forward. It goes to rules as a constitutional amendment would do. The other two bills that are on the agenda today will also go to rules as we send them to Ways and Means. So we're here to work every day, and I hope that we do. Representative Heinzman.
Mr. Chair, we've all been working every day. And quite honestly, when I heard a testifier earlier suggest that we've skillfully been navigating the process, I laughed out loud. That this isn't how legislating is done, except in maybe in a seat of your pants scenario. the process is the process, and it hasn't been skillfully navigated whatsoever. This has been happening in the background, is ridiculous. The process is you get through all of the steps in time for deadlines and have people have an opportunity to look at it, not 2 weeks before session ends. This is crazy. I mean, I get it. There are a lot of things here that people like. That's very nice. But it certainly isn't skillfully navigating a process. This is something completely different. So, I mean, just to start with, where does the housing idea come from? I don't know that I've heard anybody talking about that. And it would make sense maybe to spend out of the money that's already going to the general fund, but to constitutionally dedicate it to housing and not even bring the discussion to the housing committee, go straight to rules. There again, maybe somebody would like to address where that idea came from, but up until today, I hadn't heard any discussion of it. And I've been on the LCCMR for many years. This last term was the first term I've been off of it out of 8. So it's really something. So that maybe would be a place to start. I have several questions after that, if the bill author would like to start with some of the questions.
Representative Hollins.
Sure. I'm not entirely sure how to answer that question. It came from discussions that we had with individuals, and then from my mind, and also working in conjunction with people in the housing realm. I think, you know, if you talk to Representative Mike Howard, he has wanted to create this. He's wanted to create this dedicated fund for a long time, and so. You know, I don't think it came out of nowhere. This is something that's been passed around and thought about for quite a long while. And to your point about navigating the system, I mean, this was posted in a timely fashion. You had the opportunity to look over it. The amendment was posted before the deadline. You know, this is how we make laws. Like, there's not, I mean, and I've been talking to a number of people within this committee and outside of this committee and stakeholders outside in the community about this for weeks. So I apologize that I didn't talk to you directly, but you know, everything about this is timely. So I'd love to hear your other questions though, if they're policy related.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Heintzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Maybe Representative Hollins could just answer the question. Where did this idea come from? Because you mentioned people. You didn't say who, other than one individual I don't know that any of us have ever had an opportunity to visit with. They've never stopped by my office to give me any kind of an update as to what they're thinking about doing with the ENRTF. Did it come from one person, the one you mentioned, or is there really other people?
Representative Hollins.
I'm still unsure how to answer this question. Vice Chair Mike Howard certainly had this idea. I have talked about it with Representative or Chair Becker Finn. I've talked about it with Chair Lee. I've talked about it with Chair Hansen. I've had conversations with, you know, virtually every member of the Environment Committee on my side of the aisle. You know, it was a group effort, truly. And it was a group effort to pull together something that was, you know, thoughtful and reasonable and trying to provide a dedicated fund, like a dedicated housing fund that's addressed the needs of our community and that also directly tied into, you know, what we do with environment and natural resources. So I truly don't know how to answer your question. You know, thank you for asking it. I don't know what you want me to say.
Representative Heintzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Does the Walz administration support this idea, Representative Hollins?
Representative Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Heintzman. We have notified the Walz administration of what we're doing. We haven't gotten a formal approval or non-approval of the, you know, they're staying neutral as of right now. But they are informed of what the amendment includes and how it's moving forward.
And Representative Heintzman, as you know, a constitutional amendment is not subject to a gubernatorial veto or signature.
Mr. Chair. Heintzman. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Since the bill author had no idea what I was talking about. I thought maybe I would address somebody that may have spoken to this or had support for it. Governor Walz may be one. I was hoping to try to help the bill author understand that it would be great to know where the idea came from, who does and doesn't support it out of the very narrow scope of folks that testified today, which I think only one or two identified this particular provision as something that they supported. So absent that, the support of the governor, it would be nice to know, does the bill author, Representative Hollins, do you have any idea how much money that you plan on or that you expect to go into this category that is being carved out as the ENRTF?
Representative Hollins, Representative Heinzman, I think that could you clarify the question, because you were saying carved out of the ENRTF. So right, currently 40% is dedicated to the ENRTF, and that increases to 50% plus the unclaimed prizes. And then what Representative Hollins is doing is the other 50% would be dedicated to housing. Are you asking about that, or what are you specifically asking for Representative Hollins?
I'll try again, Mr. Chair. How much money is expected to be carved out of the ENRTF to go into housing? It currently doesn't go to housing. No dollars do that I'm aware of out of the ENRTF. How much with this proposal is estimated to go into housing?
I'd like to respond.
Representative Hollins.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Heinzman. No money is planned to be carved out of the ENRTF. That is its own fund. And it's currently set at 40% of the lottery proceeds that we get. Now it will be 50% with this bill. So it actually increases the amount that's going to the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. The other money that's going to housing currently goes to the general fund. And that money would be going into a housing fund. I hope that helps you understand.
Representative Heinzman.
I'll try again. How much money do you expect to go to housing under this proposal?
Representative Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Heinzman. Gotcha. Okay, thank you so much for the clarification. It is approximately, let's see, the notes I have said it was roughly $65 million per year. There was an increase as of last year, I believe, that, let's see. Okay, so general fund, it's usually about $60 million per year. Last year, that amount was almost $75 million. So it went up a bit, but we're estimating that it'll probably drop back down to $60 to $65 million per year.
Representative Heinzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I'm trying to understand as best I can. And so ENRTF might not make sense, except that if you're rewriting this entire idea under the lottery, as to where the money goes, you could easily, Representative Hollins, direct 100% of it to the environmental resource subject area. You don't like them going to the general fund. So the options are endless. So potentially all go to the environment, but instead you're writing language that directs $65 to $70 million is arguably something that's created.
Representative Heinzman, we're losing you there. I think we actually may have lost you. Representative Heinzman.
Sorry, Mr. Chair, my internet connection collapsed.
Okay.
I was just pointing out that you could direct up to 100% of it to the environment natural resources subject area. So that, in my mind, is how it can be carved one way or the other. I don't think that this is going to go anywhere. I think that it's way too late. I think that the idea that this has been successfully navigating a process is absurd. I'm shocked that we're hearing this today. And if we did have a plan, I would suggest to go to the housing committee, even though the chair has said, I guess, that she doesn't want to hear it. So that seems also really unusual, considering that we're talking a $65 million amount going to housing, and the committee chair on housing doesn't want to hear the bill. Super bizarre today, Mr. Chairman.
We've got a couple other questions. Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I don't have a question, it's just a statement. I too have been on LCCMR since my career down here, and often wondered why 50% went, or why that money went into the general fund. So I compliment Representative Hollins on being creative and figuring out a way to attempt to do something that our entire state needs. And I want to remind everybody, every corner of the state has workforce housing issues and low income housing issues and a myriad of housing issues. So Representative Hollins, thank you for being creative. This would be a way to dedicate general fund money to the next time this has what would normally go to the general fund to what is a problem throughout the state. So I appreciate your efforts. Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative Hollins.
Representative Hollins.
Thank you, Representative Eklund. I absolutely agree with you. And I think some of the biggest proponents of the housing provision have been individuals that are outside of the metro area, because the reality is those areas often get forgotten, especially with deeply affordable housing. There is a great need all across this state to provide housing to individuals. And so I really appreciate the perspective of an individual who's outside of the seven county metro area. I think this is something that really does and really will benefit the entire state of Minnesota, both on the environment side and the housing side.
Representative Lippert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I want to piggyback on Representative Eklund's comments too. I'm just thanking Representative Hollins for your creativity and your work here. I'm in Northfield, and affordable housing is a top concern, a top priority in City Council. Young people here talk with me about the need for affordable housing, are asking what are we going to do about it? How can we act on this now? In a neighboring community, Lonsdale, which is under 5,000 people, their city council leaders talk with me about the need for workforce housing as well. And so this is a critical issue across the state for small communities and our cities. And also in Northfield, we have a very innovative model for affordable housing project that's climate friendly as well. And so there are creative ways for us to be combining concern for the climate, environment, and housing. And this bill is one more. So thank you for this work. I'm excited to support it.
Representative Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Hollins, for bringing this bill forward. One area that is of particular concern to many members of this committee, and I know is of a concern to you as well, Representative Hollins, is environmental justice. We talked a little bit about some of the economic justice aspects of housing, but can you talk a little bit about how your bill intersects with environmental justice and how your bill will help communities that have been left behind in the past by some of this funding?
Representative Hollins.
Thank you so much for that question. I think it's an incredibly important question. Oh, sorry. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Jordan. I just think that's a really important question, and it's something that we all need to grapple with a little bit. I think the reality is we know that environmental justice and climate justice is intensely important and something that we need to absolutely focus some energy on. And when we look at the Environmental and Natural Resources Trust Fund, it really provides an opportunity for us to address climate change and address in particular those communities that have been ignored or have been disproportionately impacted by a lot of the choices that we've made over the course of the past, 100 years with regards to environments and climate. I think that our speaker from the Frogtown area was a perfect example of how this environmental trust fund can be used to really supplement a lot of the good work that is happening within our communities and provide resources to groups that otherwise would not necessarily have as many resources. you know, especially when we talk about disenfranchised groups of people, they don't often have those large structures in place with like generational funding that helps to move them forward. And so being able to have a grant program that allows them to tap into some of these funds to really address the needs in their local community is something that I'm particularly passionate about, and that I think most of us who care about environmental justice are passionate about. I also want to definitely recognize the fact that every community has different needs, right? And there might be, you know, there are certainly disenfranchised groups in northern Minnesota that have very different environmental concerns and environmental needs than the Frogtown group. And so being able to specifically tailor that for the area in which they are and for the needs of those communities is incredibly important. And this trust fund really allows that to happen. And on the housing side of things, this also creates an opportunity. I mean, creating sustainable housing, housing that is built to withstand climate change and to mitigate the effects of climate change are things that we're definitely trying to move forward in all areas. And in particular, lower income areas often are the ones who have, you know, the worst weatherization. They have the greatest risk of flooding and of, you know, especially naturally occurring affordable housing is often susceptible to a lot of the concerns that we have around climate change and environmental justice. And so I think there's great overlap here with ensuring that individuals who need that protection, who need those resources, have access to those resources and have access to those protections. And I think it's our job as legislators to make sure that that money is accessible to those individuals and not simply accessible to the larger groups that might be really well established and might be able to, you know, participate in complicated grant programs that a lot of other folks cannot.
Representative Jordan, did you have a follow-up?
Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
No, I'm in rules. I'm sorry. That was a great answer.
Say no.
But I think it's important that we all keep this in mind that, you know, Chair Lee and I talk about the needs of our community in Northeast Minneapolis and North Minneapolis, where we've had decades of pollution and that it's had real impacts on not only our environment, but and our water quality in the Mississippi River, but also on the health of our constituents, on their ability to afford to live their lives with dignity and respect. And so when we're looking at all everything that underlies the environment, it's all connected. And so I really want to applaud you for seeing that interconnectivity between what people's lives are like and what the environment is like and how we can move forward on solutions together. So thank you for this bill. I think it's a great creative solution to not admiring the problems, but looking at what the problems are now and what the problems will be years later when many of us won't even be on this committee or even in the legislature anymore. So thank you for being so visionary here. And thank you, Mr. Chair, for hearing this today.
Representative Lewitt. Representative Lewitt. Representative Heinzman, did we lose him?
He may have lost connection, so maybe go to another question, or unfortunately we might have to wrap up if this is kind of coming to the end of this.
Representative Lewick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A little bit of internet problems. I guess I just have a comment, and I would like to thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Hollins. And you may not appreciate what I'm thanking you for, but what Representative Hollins here has done with the help of the chair is really raised the question that probably should go before the voters, and that is exactly what should we do with those lottery proceeds. While I think this is not even a last-ditch effort to get something done this session, it's premature and and unvetted. What you two have done is laid out that fundamental question. You know, we've got issues with in our education system that we can't seem to solve. I'm not suggesting that simply adding more money is going to be the solution for some of the horrible academic history we have in certain parts of the state and certain school districts. I'm not going to suggest that it wouldn't be fair game to go after this lottery money to deal with something that I think literally every school district has brought forward this year and years past, and that is the issue of funding assistance for those disabled children in our school system. You know, that's there's been an uproar of that, not just this year, but a continuing thing. And to folks, and some of you has been around this system a long time that are advocating for this approach, be careful what you ask for. Because again, what you've done here is ask that fundamental question. This should be going to the education folks. This should be going to the health and human services folks. We've got issues with the care of the elderly, with the care of the disabled. All of these things stretch across Minnesota. So again, you may have just poked the bear, so to speak, and it'll be real interesting. I would caution you that here, you're throwing out a one approach, but what you've done is asked the question, where should every single dollar of that go? You're going right to the fundamental issue of whether that should even be, quote, a conservation-based approach in spending. So again, thank you. I would suggest that to try to do this in the next couple of weeks shows a level of, I don't know, almost foolishness, but you have set the stage for January 2023 for everybody to come forward and come up with their own plan on exactly how we ought to spend those dollars. And we may see something completely unrelated to what we're thinking now. So again, you guys have just opened up a real box. And while there's this almost unanimous support on the majority side here for those dollars to go to housing, I would suggest that you check with the rest of the people in the legislature that may feel just as strongly about education, just as strongly about our disabled, just as strongly about our nursing homes, and a whole sundry of other things. So I appreciate it. You've literally opened up the question to fundamentally, what should we be doing with those dollars? And obviously, we're not satisfied at this point, so let's just go right to a blank sheet of paper and start all over. Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Hollins.
Representative Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Lick. I appreciate the comments, even though I know that's not necessarily how I'm supposed to be taking it. But I do appreciate your point. And I think, you know, a lot of times when we talk about a number of the issues that you've brought up, especially when we talk about education and families with children with disabilities, a lot of what we talk about is having access to stable, affordable housing. A number of people are struggling to get by because the cost of housing here in Minnesota has increased dramatically over the past 15 years. And I think that for the most part, we can agree, and certainly when I was in the Prevention of Homelessness Committee, we all agreed that the ability to have stable, affordable housing is something that directly impacts every aspect of your life, from kids and their educational ability to your health, to your ability to get a job and keep a job and increase the economy of our state. I mean, all of these things really stem from being able to have a place that you can call home and a place that is relatively close to where you actually want to live and work. And so to my mind, this really is foundational and something that does impact all of those different issues that you have been talking about. And I think that I'm very interested in having a more robust conversation about this and what housing means to Minnesotans. So I appreciate it. Thank you.
Representative Keeler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Hollins, you answered that phenomenally. I was going to say, kind of piggybacking on what I think is foolish, is for us to not understand that the foundation of all of those pieces, education, healthcare, nursing homes, disabilities, start with being able to be housed. And I just, as a greater Minnesota member here, I love the housing aspect because we know and understand that when we don't provide more housing opportunities for individuals and families in greater Minnesota, it's not appealing to move and live in greater Minnesota. So people are leaving. It's why numbers are going down in greater Minnesota. And so investing in housing is absolutely how we move forward in foundationally building a strong education system, healthcare system, and moving forward. So thank you, Representative Hollins, for continuing to do this work.
Representative Hollins, I want to thank you for your efforts here and working with folks. You know, it's when we think about the environment, what is the environment we spend most of our life in? What is the environment we spend most of our life in? Under a roof. Hopefully, if we're lucky enough that we have our life under a roof. We sleep under a roof. We live inside housing. We live, it's how we live. And what Minnesotans love is getting outdoors. And that portion of renewal, of reinvigoration of the trust fund by adding more into it so that we can do more. I think the nexus is there with the built environment that we live in and the environment that we enjoy outdoors. The science that is involved for fixing long-term problems, the research that we funded and that we can continue to fund with to help problem solving and to help address these long-term issues and the engagement with folks all over the state. So your efforts, you know, what we've heard today is a lot about on process or who wrote this. I'm hopeful when this passes off the House floor that it'll be we wrote this, that we did this together as Minnesotans, and that when it goes to the voters, that we will consider. We as Minnesotans will consider this. So I want to give you the final word, Representative Hollins. I don't see any other questions, but thank you again for your work.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, committee members, for this conversation. I really do appreciate it. I think you kind of, Mr. Chair, you kind of stole my closing line, which was this is something that's deeply important, that we know is deeply important to all Minnesotans, both aspects of it. When I talk to people, even here in St. Paul, the two top concerns that most people have are housing and the environment. And I think that bringing them together is just a really unique opportunity. And I think that it's an important way of showing Minnesotans what we really care about. And I will reiterate that I have had numerous conversations about this and a lot of help. I wanna give special thanks to Janelle Taylor from House Research, as well as Representative Mike Howard and Representative Esther Gbaje, who both are much more well-versed in the housing area than I am, and who were willing to step up and try to work on this project with me. But I also want to thank all of the environmental organizations that testified today and who have been supportive of the work that I've been doing to try to bring this bill forward and to ensure that this pot of money gets re-upped so that they're able to continue the good work that they're doing both within the metro area and also outside of it. I think that part of being a Minnesotan, which I do consider myself a Minnesotan now, even though I was not born and raised here, but part of being Minnesotan is just loving the outdoors and loving being a part of, you know, whether it's hunting or fishing or hiking or camping or canoeing. I mean, all of those things are so near and dear to our heart. And it's part of the reason why I love living here. And so it's really been an honor to carry this work and to continue working on it with these amazing partners. So I thank you very much, and I encourage you.
Thank you. I will renew my motion that House File 4649, as amended, be recommended to be re-referred to the Rules and Legislative Administration Committee. The clerk will take the roll.
Chair Hansen.
Aye.
Hansen votes aye. Vice Chair Wasilewicz.
Wasilewicz, aye.
Wasilewicz votes aye. Lead Heintzman. Lead Heintzman. Oh. Heintzman votes no. Representative Akam?
Aye.
Akam votes aye. Representative Ackland?
Ackland, no.
Ackland votes no. Representative Backer?
Backer, no.
Backer votes no. Representative Becker Finn?
Aye.
Becker Finn votes aye. Representative Ackland?
Aye.
Ackland votes aye. Representative Fisher?
Fisher, aye.
Fisher votes aye. Representative Green?
No.
Green votes no. Representative Igo?
Igo, no.
Igo votes no. Representative Jordan?
Jordan, aye.
Jordan votes aye. Representative Keeler?
Keeler, aye.
Keeler votes aye. Representative Lee?
Lee, aye.
Lee votes aye. Representative Lippert?
Lippert, aye.
Lippert votes aye. Representative Lewick?
Lewick, no.
Lewick votes no. Representative Morrison is excused. Representative Nelson?
Nelson, no.
Nelson votes no. And Representative Tice is excused. Mr. Chair, there are 10 ayes, 7 nays, and 2 excused.
The motion prevails. Congratulations, Representative Hollins. You're on your way. Next up is House File 4850. That is my bill, so I will turn the chair over to Vice Chair Wasilewicz.
All right, Representative Hansen, would you like to move your bill?
Yes, Madam Chair, I will move that House File 4850 be recommended to be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee.
Representative Hansen, you also have an author's amendment. Would you move the A1 amendment and explain it for us briefly?
Yes, Madam Chair, I will move the A1 amendment. Members, the A1 amendment relates to capital projects. This topic has been posted on the LCCMR website since December. We have not had many in-depth meetings of LCCMR since that time. The reason for the amendment is over the last several years, there has been a movement towards more capital projects in LCCMR. So if there are capital projects, the intent of this amendment is that they go through the same process as capital projects that go through bonding would have. And so they would go to MMB and they'd have to demonstrate that they are actually a project. So that is the A1 amendment, and I would ask for your support.
Representative Hansen moves the A1 amendment to get the bill in the form the author wants. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed say nay. The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Representative Hansen, to your bill as amended.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. This House file relates to reform of the LCCMR. What it does is most of what I said on the floor, Representative Heintzman, when you had asked me about reform of LCCMR. So with the amendment on capital projects, I think it provides greater strength in terms of when those projects happen, that they are real and that they can move forward as a real project if they do occur. Members, as I said on the floor, I believe part of what has been a challenge with the LCCMR has been partisanship. And the reforms that were done nearly 20 years ago may have worked for a time, but are not working now. So what the amendment, what this bill does is instead of having a legislative majority, having a majority of legislators from that house on the commission, it would have 2 members from each party in each house, just like another commission I'm on, the Legislative Audit Commission. so it'd be a true commission format, and that those members would be picked by their respective caucuses. So you don't have the majority caucus picking the members of the minority caucus to serve on the commission. This would have a net effect of reducing the number of legislators on the commission. Next, it would have 8 citizen members that would be appointed by the governor on staggered terms when they are by congressional district. So that encourages population and regional balance by having them appointed by congressional district. In addition, it provides for a tribal member so that there is direct support for that. I know there have been some input about having maybe 2 tribal members, one from the Dakota and one from the Ojibwe. So I'm open to that, but the bill that's in front of us has 1 tribal member right now. So there would still be 17 members, but it would change the makeup of those members. In addition, it would provide that if a member has a conflict of interest, that they would not vote on the final package, and the supermajority would be dependent on those voting that do not have a conflict. We've had the current operating procedure with LCCMR has been notification of conflicts, and this would tighten up any particular conflicts by making sure that the vote of the supermajority is of those that do not have a conflict on the topic. And with that, I would ask for your support.
At this point, we'll open it up for questions from members. Representative Heintzman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Hansen, I'm just wondering, I think that I'm looking at the language and I see that you're saying or stating in the bill that you cannot be a registered lobbyist. Does that mean you can work for a lobbyist and then actually serve on this committee if this bill was passed?
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And you were a little fuzzy there, Representative Heintzman, but you would have to be, if you are a registered lobbyist, you could not be on the commission. That's the same language, I believe, is on the Clean Water Council. If you work for a entity that has lobbyists, but you are not the lobbyist, you could still be on the commission as long as you are not the lobbyist that is being receiving compensation as a lobbyist.
Representative Heintzman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The term limit for some of these, is it there? I'm seeing maybe 2 years. Could you talk about that? Could you help me understand a little bit better, Representative Hansen, if that's kind of what we were talking about in terms of limiting term?
Representative Hansen, did you hear enough of that?
I think Representative Heintzman was asking about term limits. This bill does not have the explicit two-term limit. I am, as I've mentioned before, I am open to that. I believe the Senate may have that, but we've got a lot here that I think is significant reform, and I'd like to continue discussions with you as we go forward on that.
Representative Heintzman, any other questions? We are having a hard time hearing, and you're breaking up a little bit, so if we have to repeat something, we'll have you do that. Any other questions?
I do have a number of other questions, but with the bad connection, I think that I'll leave it there. It's just unfortunate this didn't come sooner. Thank you, Madam Chair. I think that there's a lot more to work on, and I wish that we could go through the process as we would have if it had come through before being introduced April 29th.
All right, we will move to Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Hansen, I think this is a good idea to try to see if we can fix or reform the process. I do agree with Representative Heintzman on one aspect of this. I think we need to take a look at putting some kind of term limits in for the citizen members, whether it's staggered or whatever. And the reason I say this, after sitting on LCCMR for 7 years, it's pretty obvious that the entrenched members of the commission have taken over ownership, and I don't think that was the intention of the when the LCCMR was set up under the ENTRF. So that's something I'd really seriously like to take a look at. The legislators are term limited by the fact that they have to seek re-election, and then and especially with this legislation that they have to be picked by the caucus. So I mean that's two reasons right there where the legislators part of this would be term limited. But overall, we need to reform the process, and Representative Heintzman, Representative Lewick, and I have talked about this, especially with Representative Lewick got his first taste of what LCCMR was like last summer. And I think if we can get this some kind of reform through, we can make the process work a little bit smoother. You take a look, we have about $70 million or so every year, give or take, that we spend in the LCCMR. But it turns into a major battle to get a majority approval out the door, where Lessard Sams, on the other hand, that spends far greater amount of money but don't have a political majority on their board can get it done relatively quicker. So thank you, Representative Hansen. That was a long comment, but I appreciate the effort here.
Representative Hansen, did you have a response?
Thank you, Representative Eklund. And I should note, we do clarify the advisory committee to the governor also would serve for 2-year terms because there was some ambiguity there. I think that advisory committee served for 1 year. So when it's 1 year, they continually have to, you're starting the process all the time. So having that 2-year term, I should note that these reforms would go into effect. They are prospective, so that the members that are appointed now would serve out their terms. And then they would begin after that. It's just don't believe it's appropriate or procedurally appropriate to be cutting terms with a change while members have been appointed to it. So they would serve out their terms, and then the new process would begin. So I think this strengthens this. It provides for more accountability and more transparency for the process. And to the question of timing, Representative Heintzman, we had that debate on the floor, and we've had those debates on the committee. So taking input throughout the session is important. And again, we're here to work every day. And as long as we're in open session, we should try to make sure that we're trying to improve things. So I'd ask for your support.
Any further discussion? Not seeing any hands go up. Representative Hansen, were those your closing remarks, or do you want to say anything else?
I think they were my closing remarks.
All right. Representative Hansen renews his motion that House File 4850, as amended, be recommended to be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee. The clerk will take the roll.
Representative Hansen.
Aye.
Hansen votes aye. Vice Chair Wasilek.
Wasilek, aye.
Wasilek votes aye. Lead Heintzman.
Heintzman, no.
Heintzman votes no. Representative Akam.
Aye.
Akam votes aye. Representative Ackland.
No.
Ackland votes no. Representative Backer.
Backer, no.
Backer votes no. Representative Becker-Finn.
Aye.
Becker-Finn votes aye. Representative Ackland.
Aye.
Ackland votes aye. Representative Fisher.
Fisher, aye.
Fisher votes aye. Representative Green.
No.
Green votes no. Representative Igo.
Igo, no.
Igo votes no. Representative Jordan.
Aye.
Jordan votes aye. Representative Keeler.
Keeler, aye.
Keeler votes aye. Representative Lee.
Lee, aye.
Lee votes aye. Representative Lippert.
Lippert, aye.
Lippert votes aye. Representative Lewick.
Lewick, no.
Lewick votes no. Representative Morrison is excused. Representative Nelson.
Nelson, no.
Nelson votes no. Representative Tice is excused. Madam Chair, there are 10 ayes and 7 nays and 2 excused.
The motion prevails. Chair Hansen, any further announcements for us before we adjourn?
Well, members, I want to thank Vice Chair Wasilek for doing an awesome job serving as chair, not only today, but throughout this session. She has been amazing and is retiring, and I want to thank you personally and on behalf of the committee for the work that you do.
Thank you, Chair Hansen. Any other announcements before we wrap?
Mr. Cracker I saw his hand was up for a moment there.
I think it was an applause emoji. Oh.
Thank you all, and thank you, retiring members and members that are trying to go to the Senate. We wish you luck, and thank you for all the work that you've done.
All right, and with that, we are adjourned.